AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area, and people from throughout the USA can listen on the internet simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link, where you will see the members of our panel. You'll see our good panelists, Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel. Now, Mark is doing a bus tour as we speak, but he will be with us today. As you know, he is going to have a big, big event coming up this Saturday, the grand opening of the new Made in America flagship store there in Elma, New York, and we'll be talking about that. But as always, I ask that you go to your telephone right now and invite family members and friends to tune in. If you received our email this morning, I ask that you email it to a family member or friend and invite them to tune in right now so that they'll be able to enjoy the broadcast. And remember, you can always listen to rebroadcasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, with me right now, I'm pleased to say, is Dr. Rich Logis. As you know, he is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, a man with many opinions. And Rich, I want to tell you, people enjoy your opinions. The way you present it, give it cold turkey, whatever is the way you feel, they like hearing it. So, Rich, what's happening in your neck of the woods these days?
Well, thank you for that, Michael. And to our listeners, you know, thanks for tuning in. And I was invited on this show almost 4 years ago after meeting you and Henry and Nick downstairs when the Polish American Center served pierogi. And I always like to tell this story, Michael. I got to know everyone on this show, including others I've met as a result of the show, all because of a wrong turn. Me and my wife were visiting Philadelphia. The stupid GPS took me the wrong way, and I took a wrong turn on Walnut Street. And my wife is from Poland. I took the wrong turn, saw the Polish flag.
Then I saw
a sign that said pierogi and kielbasa being served. So then I said, oh, we better go park. Now, of course, at the time, I didn't know that Philadelphia, you know, makes like $80 billion a month in parking tickets. So thankfully, I was able to get out of my pierogi gorging without a parking ticket.
Well, I encourage everybody who's coming to historic Philadelphia to come and visit the Polish American Cultural Center there at 308 Walnut Street, where you'll really enjoy the trip. And we have lots of things going on. You know, historic Philadelphia is really alive at this time of year. And we have all kinds of tours and people dressed in costumes, historic figures going around welcoming the guests. It's really a wonderful time of year to visit historic Philadelphia. And I want to remind all of you that we have a great internet site that we maintain. It's called TriStateVisitors.com. It's TriStateVisitors.com. What that does is take you to sites in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and also New York. So check it out. And of course, you can plan your visit to historic Philadelphia simply by clicking on the link, and you'll be in the same situation that Rich Logis did. When you drive down Walnut Street, you'll see the Polish and American flag. We certainly are part of the most historic square mile in Philadelphia. Joining us also is Dr. Larkin Connolly. Dr. Connolly, we are waiting for Mr. Andel, but what is new in your neck of the woods?
Well, good morning, Michael, and good morning to all of our listeners. And Rich, good morning. What's new? I guess the political landscape changes a little bit every day. But if I could mention something and just take a few minutes, I had the opportunity of watching a YouTube presentation. It was Associate Justice Clarence Thomas, and he was addressing the graduates of Hillsdale College at their commencement. Hillsdale's a little college of some repute down in the Savannah area. And he spoke for 35 minutes, and it was some of the most moving conversation or speech that I've ever heard. I mean, he hit like, you know, not home runs. He hit like five grand slams with things that he said. And I would implore everybody to get onto YouTube and get Justice Clarence Thomas's graduate address to Hillsdale College. But I want to quote one of the things that he said, because I think it really hits home. He said, if you continue to run up charges on your credit card and you never make a payment, at some point you're going to reach the credit limit. And he said, if you continue to make withdrawals from your savings account and you make no deposits, eventually you're going to deplete your funds. So why is it not the case then that if we continue to consume the benefits of a free society without replenishing or nourishing it, we will eventually deplete it? If we're not making deposits to replenish our liberties, who is? Are we content to let others do the work? Let a few give the last few full measure of liberty while we consume the benefits? Leadership is not fueled by authority. It starts the two authority and being a leader are two mutually exclusive terms. Leadership, among other things, is first the example that you set for everyone with the way you live your life day in and day out. I thought that was pretty moving stuff. And when I think about what our president said to Rutgers in a very political speech that attacked that guy running for president, Donald Trump, I'm just amazed at this guy. And I think if you go out of your way to read one of his books, I mean, this guy started out in a two-room shanty outside of Savannah, Georgia. They had light in the kitchen only. They were dirt floors. His parents were slaves. It's just one of those stories that says, that just reeks of what works in America is what will work in America is what has worked in America for the last 200 years. And we are so far away from what made this country great. We are so into entitlements. We are so into being politically correct that we are about to throw out the window one of the most successful societies ever built on the back of its predecessors.
Well wow, said, Larkin. Wow.
Wow. Larkin. Wow. And you know, this is a subject near and dear to me, Larkin, so you bring that up. I actually saw that speech as well. And, you know, Michael, the intent of our founders with the Constitution was to keep government as little and unobtrusive as possible. The reason that the United States was founded as a republic, and I'm not a historian, just for our listeners to know, you know, I wasn't a history major. I've studied this postgraduate college because I'm just a thirst for understanding how this all came to be. And our founders created this country as a republic, not as a pure democracy, which they thought was actually a terrible idea. Because the point of a republic, Michael, is that the minority is protected from the tyranny of the majority. So if the tyranny of the majority says, do away with states' rights, do away with the First Amendment, do away with the right to bear arms, the minority is protected, hence the word inalienable. And the Constitution, and this is something I always found funny with, you know, Justice Scalia, rest in peace, when he used to interpret and he used to make his rulings and say the Constitution is a legal contract. It's not a living, breathing document. And yes, the Constitution, our lawyers, our attorneys who are listening, Michael, would say, well, like any contract, there's room for interpretation. Absolutely, I agree with that. But imagine, Larkin, you go into a business. Mark goes into a business. I go into a business, Michael, with my RJL agreement, and I say, well, Mr. End User, my RJL agreement is a living, breathing document subject to whatever changes I feel like that morning. Who in his right mind would sign that agreement?
Mm-hmm.
Not a single person. So the intent behind this, and of course the great irony in all of this, is that Washington and Tommy Jefferson and those guys actually considered themselves and what was defined at that time as a liberal, hence liberty. Now that word's just been adulterated, and actually most liberals don't even call themselves that. They call themselves something like concerned citizen and progressive. You know, they've masked it because that's what those guys considered themselves. Those guys were the classic liberals. So, yeah, and political correctness. Again, I go back to the great George Carlin. George Carlin called political correctness fascism. And it's going, Larkin, to kill this nation if it remains unchecked. Because this growing insatiable beast of political correctness, many people are starting to learn, is not an overnight thing. It's actually a many decades in the making thing. And don't think, Michael, that the kind of turnout we've seen isn't at least somewhat influenced by this realization.
Absolutely.
You know, in that same vein, Rich, the thing that just amazed me this past week was that this nation was consumed in a discussion about what bathroom transgender people should be using. Absolutely consumed our newspapers, our televisions, our radios with all of this. And I thought to myself, first of all, we've got huge problems. We've got big problems. And where some 17-year-old that thinks he's a girl, not a boy, which is his right, which I, you know, whatever, what bathroom he uses to me is just in, like, complete insanity. I mean, it's so wasteful. And we have a president that spent 3 days on this. And here's the kicker. Here's the final, like, stab in the back. The Clay County, Florida, decided, you know what? We're not going to follow this law or this edict or whatever it is. It's not a law. That's just it. We're not. We're going to – we think Title IX answers all the questions necessary. We're not going to follow it. So what happens? They get a call from the federal government that says if you don't follow this law – we will take $5 billion of federal education money away from you. Are you kidding me? Is that the way this country was supposed to be structured? That the federal government's going to threaten an educational tax return to a county because they won't follow what the federal government thinks? You know, we're so lost. It's called
Larkin.
The United States of America. It's not called Great Britain. It's not called Ireland. It's not called Canada. The United States of America.
You're right, guys. And I want to tell you
Michael,
something.
Michael, can I say a point? Michael,
absolutely.
Can I make a point of that? Larkin, and I've said this before, so to our listeners, I apologize for the repetition, but I think it's appropriate for this discussion. The most honest statement that the president made when he was running for office, the most honest statement that he's made to date was when he first ran, and he said, and he used this word, this adverb, we're going to transform the country. Well, by golly, Michael, got to give credit where credit's due. The transformation is underway. But, you know, here's the thing about transformation. Like, even saying it, my heart rate spikes. Like, Henry's going to need to edit out the panting. I'm having shortness of breath as I'm saying it. Henry, I need you to edit the panting out because my blood pressure just is spiking and my heart rate's all over the place. I hear the word transform. the word transformed. I'm sure the word transform is like what some of the finest people in world history who all lived in dictatorships all said to their fellow people who had no access to information, who had no economic opportunity. Hugo Chavez said he was going to transform Venezuela. How's Venezuela doing today?
Bankrupt.
How are those guys doing today? You could go look at the New York, recently the New York Times, which I'm not, just so you guys know, I'm not an avid reader of the New York Times, but I do check out their stories. They just had an article recently about the hospitals, medical care in Venezuela. I mean, it's fourth world squalor, Larkin.
Gentlemen, I have to say this to you. This is good that we're talking about this because Justice Thomas is a perfect example of what can be done in America from the smallest to the highest. The problem we've been suffering through for 30 plus years is really poor leadership, not only from the top, but the middle and also the bottom. You know, as I talk to people and they talk about our Buy American challenge and all, and people report back to me and I go around and I see it for myself. 35 years ago on the Delaware River in Philadelphia, there were not enough ships able to be berthed, taking goods from America, from the railroad tracks, on containers overseas to other countries. There were not enough ships to take them. Today, we don't have any ships coming in unless they're filled with foreign stuff. As people look around, they're looking at what happened. Poor leadership, people paying attention, worrying about toilets instead of futures. We've seen a lot of improvements in Made in America lately. Some jobs have been replaced, but not many. And I remind people every day when we speak, 300,000 Americans, especially baby boomers, retire every month. We get 150 or 200,000 replacements. That means we're 100,000 people in a deficit each month. But more frightening than all of that is, till today, 90% of the clothing that all of you are wearing made foreign. 90% of the shoes we're all wearing made foreign. 90% of the electronics. Mark says he doesn't have one thing that'll plug in, made foreign. And 90% of the toys all of your children and grandchildren are playing with are imported from other countries. How did all that happen? At one time, all of those manufacturing places were here in the USA, but people were satisfied because some people had jobs. Then government benefits came along and they had welfare, they had unemployment, they had all these other things to go on. The social ills in the country are caused by our own. As Larkin said about 2 months ago, it's the breakdown of the American family. That's number one. And number two, it's the breakdown of the American dream. Many Americans are not dreaming anymore. They don't have anything to dream, as we talked about, the credit cards. What Justice Thomas said, how can you expect your credit card amount to go down if you don't pay it down? There's no thinking in our school system. I see it by people who come in to do information about job placements, interviews. They don't have the basics, yet they're coming from some of the middle and better schools. And yet they really don't have communication skills unless it's on an iPhone. I've had people tell me, when I give them an application to give me some written information, they say to me, don't you have a terminal I can sit at? I say, no, I don't. Well, can I bring it back to you? And this is the new America. We did this to ourselves. We need a new change. We need to turn the page. And by the way, as we talk every week about our congressional people and our senators and our president and everything else, there is a brand new book coming out on the 24th of May. Everyone will be able to get it from Amazon. It is The Confessions of Congressman X. You will be able to read all of that we have been discussing on this broadcast from a congressman who is in serving in the Congress now but leaving. Check it out. Write it down. The Confessions of Congressman X. It's only $9. It'll clarify everything that we talked about on this broadcast for several years. And you know, guys, after looking at what's being in America's stores for years, now, after all these years, people are just understanding the aftermath of the tens of thousands of private sector industries that used to fill the neighborhoods. They're just looking at the aftermath of the loss of tens of millions of American workers. They lost their jobs. They lost their livelihoods. People say to me, you know, you're right. I thought you were a radical at one time. I said, well, I just was reporting because I work in human services and I see the hardship. I see good people not able to provide for their family, not able to be able to support, you know, some things that they want to support. Maybe they can't give their grandchildren or children something because they don't have a full-time job. It wasn't like that for them or their moms and dads 20 years ago. This is what we're all about on this broadcast, bringing sense to the people. What you said, Larkin, about Justice Thomas, I encourage people to check out that YouTube. It was inspiring. It was really inspiring. And it shows you, as I said before, you can come from very little to go to the top of the mountain, which he did.
So, you know, you have to be inspired to succeed. You have to be entrepreneurism is it's a disease, kind of. It's a desire to get ahead. It's a desire to accomplish something. It's a desire to create something successfully. And the only way that is going to one of the chief ways that is going to become the tenant in this society that it has been in past decades is to take away entitlements. And I know all the liberals are going to say, oh my God, he wants to take everybody off of welfare and blah, blah, blah. That's not true. But anybody that attempts to tell me that it's not being taken advantage of is just full of malarkey. I mean, I just have no idea what they're talking about because it doesn't work under its current circumstances. We all know that. If we can cut that in half and give that money to somebody who wants to build a free economy, oh, my. Oh, my, what changes that it would make. But, heck, why should I go to work when I can sit at home and collect enough money to live by a standard that I've decided works for me? Why should I?
You're right. And that's been the attitude. The press has done this to the people. Everywhere you look, it's showing what people are doing to hide from jobs, not look for jobs.
The most important thing is entitlements are not a solution. Entitlements are not a solution. They are a temporary Band-Aid, and we've taken that Band-Aid and decided that it's going to be a way of life.
You know, Malarkin, you're right, and the people who come visiting from foreign countries tell me they have a limit of 90 days, maybe 120 if you can really stretch it, but they've never seen or heard anything like in America, and they don't want to come to even know that they could do that because that takes the spirit of I want to work, I want to produce, I want to have innovation. Gentlemen, we have a very special guest on our line today. And I have to tell you before I mention who it is, this is a very historic event in the life of Mark Andel, a man who's a very important voice here on American Workers. Mark is a perfect example of what we've been talking about today. What can be accomplished in America, in the greatest nation on earth. And in the world of business, when you really want to do something good for America and American workers. And by the way, Mark, as you get to this brand new store, the great opening this coming Saturday, the 21st, all of us that are part of American Workers Radio, all of our listeners and Polonia want to congratulate you, Mark. And we're all looking forward to supporting him in every way that we can. And I urge all of you to check out his great opening presentation that he has up there. Check him out by going to madeinamericastore.com. And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Mark Andel. Mark, how's everything with you?
Good. How you doing, Mike, Rich, Larkin, Henry? Apologies on being late here. We were waiting for our first bus at our brand new world-class destination. It was supposed to come at 10:30. It just came in at 11 o'clock, 2 minutes before the radio show. And it was an honor to have these people from the border of Pennsylvania and New York. Beautiful people, and I was excited because it's our first bus, pulled up to our bus entrance. And we probably had about 12 veterans on the bus, and I said, this store is for you. And it was an honor to have them come through. So they're here now, and want to thank you, Mike, for that introduction. And, again, this is just common people doing common things. But my team has been outstanding here, the community. We're getting ready. We had our first event of the three-event week yesterday, which was tour groups and tour group leaders from Ontario, Canada, Philadelphia, or Pennsylvania, Ohio, east of the Mississippi. They all came into Elma East Aurora here. They put them up in town, in the town of East Aurora, Monday night. They seen they walked the town, seen Captain America at the show, and then came over in the morning, and they seen our new destination, and we honored them all, and it was awesome. I said, you know, I'm just a dumb welder here. Let me know how we did on this, and we got an A-plus rating, and people have been awesome, Mike, so we're very excited. Like you said, we got a big Veterans Day coming up Friday here. Joining Community Forces is holding their event, usually held in Buffalo, at our new store. And there's a Gold Star mother I've got to give an award to. She sacrificed, her son was given up for freedom, and it's going to be a very touching day Friday. And then Saturday is our world-class event. The weather's shaping up. We're putting up tents. The dust is still settling. I'm running wires while this bus is here, to give you an idea. Our move's been going on since last Monday. It's the move that'll never end. But we've accomplished a lot, guys, so thank you for all you do. And this really stands for America. Our new store is very exciting for us.
You know, Mark, Americans are people who really want to believe in something good, and they really appreciate someone like yourself who puts your heart and your soul into doing something positive. It gives an example that anything can be done if you put your head and your eyes and your focus in the right direction. Too many of the people, unfortunately, that were supposed to lead us, like leaders around this whole country, disappointed us by caring about themselves and not the general American. So now we have what we have. And that's why examples like yours are very important. And I plead with everybody, check out Mark's new store by going on the internet site, madeinamericastore.com. And when you can, buy some stuff from his store. Shipping comes with that. And he's got a lot of new products up there. And boy, Mark is going to appreciate your support this year.
Yeah, and I just want to say, this is a team effort like needs to be done in the United States. One team, one goal. For my wife, Jackie, our children, our family, our employees and community, my team's been tested. Larkin, you know what I mean. I mean, these people have been coming in working 12, 20 hours a day, and that's what we need. People, not about their self, it's not about me. It's about doing something good for the good of this country. Like we say, support the country you live in. Go out and buy Made in America products. It's an action plan, and it works. And as this political year gets moving forward, and as they're finding fraud in Made in America products and these loopholes that went around, we're true to it. We're 100%. But most people, no matter where you're from, Japan, China, they want something made in their country, and you should be proud of your country. So there's nothing wrong with it at all. And, again, very excited with the Made in America store.
So, Mark, I have two things to tell you. First of all, thank you very much. I think I've already thanked you, and there's a note soon to go to your father for his part in this. But, you know, he told me about this spray bottle. It's actually a liniment of some sort that you put in the palm of your hand and you rub on anything that ails you. This thing takes care of This, it takes care of rashes, bug bites, itching, everything. I mean, the list on the back of the bottle is hysterical. And I said,
"You got
my wife,
your present,
right?
Larkin."
I did. I received my present. So we talked about it forever. And
yeah,
two nights ago, my wife came to me and said, "I don't know what I've done to the bottom of my ribcage down here. I mean, I can't breathe. I can't lie on my side." And I said, "Well, I don't know. I can go get some heat or the patches, or, you know." And I said, "Oh, wait a minute. Let's just go see how well this liniment works." She woke up the next morning and said, "We need to find out what's in this stuff." It works.
Yeah, my father, if he doesn't like something, he's going to tell you, you know. But he really believed in that, and he made me go out. You know, he made that happen, Larkin. So,
it's unbelievable. But the second thing for you, and this is especially for you, and this is a little self-centered, but be that as it may, what's my discount at the new store?
You just call me. You let me know when you're coming.
Well, Mark, I don't know how much time you're going to be able to spend with us, but I really appreciate all that you've done for America. And hopefully, as time goes on, you'll be able to let us know about those wholesale items that you're going to be offering, and maybe we can even do some things to work together.
Yeah, and we got some real big news, guys, after this event Sunday that released you. And it has to do with the wholesale. So it's going to be probably the biggest news we've ever released, and very neat. And as I wait here and talk with you, I'm watching the bus, so I still probably got 15, 20 minutes because they're still shopping in our new store. And I always like to say bye to them and tell them, you know, thanks to you, you created or saved a job today. I always remind them, and, you know, go out tonight wherever you're from and do just that. You know, go out and create a job. Fix a pothole.
Mark, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to ask all the gang the question. As you go around yourselves, can you tell me what people tell you really discouraged the company that hired them to move overseas? What was the bottom line? What made it, you know, we got to leave America, period? Can you tell me what that is, Mark?
Yeah, you know, years ago I was asked, before they made it America store, I made these parts for the fence company that I lost a major account, and I made these little aluminum parts that were extruded. We cut them to size and put holes. I had the opportunity to go to China, and I could have made a killing on money. It was, you know, it was chasing that low-cost wage, the low cost of building a part overseas. I had a few people I knew that moved their families to China, and just to run a new business and make money. Again, you know, so a lot of them went over for the low cost of low expenses, low wages, of course. But I didn't do it at that time before they made the America store because I love America. I want to stay here. I'm not living in no other country to make an extra dollar. But again, you know, Rich years ago was challenging me, and I think we all changed a little bit. You got to have some patriotic value.
Now, Mark, the second part of the question is there anything that your local elected officials, your business leadership, or national elected officials could have done to help keep those businesses here in America?
Well, Michael, I gotta jump in here.
Go ahead.
Here's the fundamental reason. I mean, we can talk about all of the liberties and patriotism, all of which I agree with, insanely agree with. But, you know, the net bottom line is the corporate income tax in this country is the highest in the world. We're at 35%. Ireland, which has taken, a dozen great companies from us, including Heinz, their effective corporate tax rate is 15%. And they have a very, very vibrant economy right now. New England, Great Britain, well, it's England, has an effective tax rate of 17%. And they're considering dropping it another 2% to be competitive with Ireland. And there are companies moving over there. So this idea that business is the culprit, that we're keeping the wages down and we're not treating workers fair, and we're going to tax your butts off because of it, is just counterintuitive to what the solution is in America.
Well, I agree, Larkin, 1,000%. But I'll tell you, if any of us were the president of the United States, we would have lowered the corporate taxes to 5% or 8% years ago and welcomed all of our now internationally seen companies to return to America, we would have also tariffed all the imports at least 12% to 15% and used those tariffs to offset the reduction of those corporate taxes. We've allowed people to steer our ship. Now we're on a sand bog and we can't do anything.
I'm not Mike, I want to add, Larkin, what you said, I agree with. You know, this corporate tax, so you pay 35% federal, New York State is 9% state. You add your franchise tax that they charge you even if you're not a franchise in New York State because we're a special state, right? You're 43 to 48% tax. So basically every dollar you make, you're given 50 cents. So, Larkin, you're dead on. As much passion for the store, as much passion for the country, they made it as hard as they can to make a dollar. And we're the workers. I think when I just came on, you were talking about the entitlement. We're the ones still working, trying to run the business, believing and keeping it here. They've got to lower these rates and make it easier because it's just getting too hard to run business in the United States of America.
And also, Mark, there is one other thing. The majority of the American people do not realize how big these taxes are. They have no idea. As I talk to people, they say, what do you mean corporate taxes? Aren't they taxed like everybody else? It's time to re-educate the people as to why doing business in America has become so hard and what we have to do to reverse it.
Hell, I'll just settle for them getting out off their dead asses and voting.
Absolutely.
You know, also, somebody like yourself, Mark, wouldn't you appreciate if one of your elected people said, you know, Mark, we're going to lower your corporate tax if you will hire additional people and put them in your welding company and, you know, get more jobs moving in. Politicians, unfortunately, don't think like that. They get their weekly paycheck every week and they don't give a damn about anybody else.
They pass laws that give them an incentive to hire people from offshore because they're more talented or more knowledgeable or something. I'm not exactly sure what it is. But go ask our dear friend in Sarasota about that. I mean, it's just insanity. They not only don't do anything to spirit business, they do everything in their power to see that we don't have employed people in this country.
Well, Larkin, you're right. And the biggest problem is too many things taking away attention from the actual goodness of life in America. We're worrying about toilets and everything else, but we're not worrying about keeping people employed so they can be happy, pay their own bills, and make their own life.
Well, I go into a men's room. Go ahead.
Sorry, Larkin, excuse me. I just want to, Mark, congrats on everything. You know, look at, it's a momentous occasion, right, Mark? You know, Mark, you talk about a disease being entrepreneurship, Mark, and I mean, I'm going to propose that we put Mark in the the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, the DSM, where we look at, you know, like illnesses and these things, right? And when you look at entrepreneur insanity, we're going to put a photo of Mark. We're just going to put a photo right of Mark right there.
Rich.
And we'll be like, and this is that crazy guy. And that crazy guy, see, Mark, here's the thing. That crazy guy who's created a business around 100% made in America is expanding, not shrinking.
Yep.
Think about that, right? Expanding, not shrinking.
Even
in the face of ridiculous taxes.
Volatile economy.
Now, Mark, when were you in China, Mark?
No, I wasn't in China. I had friends that went to China.
Oh, you had friends. And what did they tell you when they came? They came, they said, look how they're moving forward. I'd like to hear from those people to tell us how they see things moving forward here in America. You know, one leader, one elected leader said to me, oh, we can't authorize taxes in America or tariffs. I said, why not? Other countries place tariffs on American-made products that we import to them. Who says we can't charge a tariff? Use that tariff for unemployment, for welfare, or whatever to help our people survive and maybe bring some of those countries back. He says, well, I don't know. It's always a story, always a brush off. But unfortunately, what happened, the American people accepted these brush offs for a long, long time, and now they're in the back seat instead of in the driver's seat.
Yeah, you could use that tariff to help small business, like Larkin's all about, score and help these businesses get out of a garage, because, you know, that's part of the American dream that's dying off, unfortunately. We're a tough breed. When Rich, I respect when you say that. You know, you've got to be half crazy to be in business, because if it's all about the dollar, this is a tough country to do it in.
And Larkin said something to me a couple weeks ago. Has this been a good market for new businesses to start up, or has there been a slowdown, Larkin?
There's definitely a slowdown in startups. There's no question of it.
Well, this is not what the American dream is supposed to be all about. We made it too many rules, regulations, applications, fines, fees, inspectors, you name it. But where is a place where you go to a place where you learn what it is to have a new business? When you want to open in your community, is there a community group? How do you find the group? How do you find a banker? This is not being done in America. We're worrying about everything else, as we discussed earlier, but not the things that are going to help us move up the ladder of success.
Let me jump all over that and tell you that SCORE is all about helping. And we have an endless number of workshops and qualified mentors to help anybody who wants to start a business.
Yes, you're right.
We definitely have you covered.
And Larkin, I don't know if you knew, I ran into Mr. Bill Ritter. You know, he was watching me and making sure everything's done right last Monday, and then Tuesday I seen him. And, you know, he was wondering where you were. He tried to get a hold of you. He thought you might be sleeping. But, you know, we were picking on you a little bit.
I saw the pictures. And by the way, I don't know if you talked about it last week. Can you tell everybody you won an award, did you not?
Yeah, we were blessed to be asked down to a Small Business Association award that our bank, my new bank, a community bank, Lakeshore, and the Small Business Association have presented my General Welding and Made in America. And it was a nice, I brought my wife Jackie and our bank, all the people came, and there was other people getting awards. So it was a great day, and we were honored for doing something different and still growing in Western New York. And, you know, when we talk about regulation, a lot of people don't realize regulation. I'm 2 months into a closing for a loan, and Larkin, you know some more details. It's tough to get a dollar, guys. It is very hard. If you're coming out of a garage with an idea, you're going to try to get capital. It's not happening today. And, you know, I've been in business, and a lot of great people, Larkin himself, SBA, Frank, and they're all helping. But it's very, very, very difficult to get capital, and that's stalling the economy. And then you add the shortage of skilled workers. We have so many culture changes we need.
So I'm going to be shameless in my approach here. But, Mark, who introduced you to the bank, your new bank?
Larkin told me to do community banks.
That's right. And he went to a community bank, and it just absolutely worked wonders. And I'm so glad that that's working out for you. I can hardly stand it.
Yeah, because I wanted people to people. I wanted people with a pulse. I want people that want to talk to me, that knows Mark Andel, that I am a certified nut house, you know? I want them to come and see my nut house, know what we're about, right?
Yep, and they're going to be there.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned earlier, there is a entire outline of what Mark is going to be having at his grand opening. If you want to see it, it's really unbelievable. Take a few minutes and read the entertainment that'll be there and all the what they're saluting. Just go on to his site, madeinamericastore.com, and it's also linked on the front page of americanworkersradio.com. Mark, you are a dream come true for a lot of people. You've given them hope again, and that's what it's all about. After this election is over, we can't have a president go in the White House and just close the door and say, I'll see you around whenever I have the time. It's got to be a president that's visible, a president that's going to speak. We need a president with authority, president that's going to send out some of his secretaries out into the communities, into the states. We talked about bringing all the governors from every state in the union to Washington. I'll bring them to Philadelphia. Let's talk about what we can do to lower those corporate taxes, help our local community businesses, build up the infrastructure. Larkin, you've been talking about building the infrastructure of America for the last 3 years. No one has touched it on a national level. No one has even mentioned it. Oh, maybe one or two candidates said we'll have to improve the infrastructure. It's a must. There in itself lies an enormous amount of new job possibilities and new skills as well.
That's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where the challenge is for this country to repair the grievous mistakes that we've made to our supply chain. It's one thing to say I'm going to build a toaster made in America, as Mark can attest to. It's one thing to say I'm going to build a toaster that's made in America, but boy, to get those component parts is pretty tough because there's just nobody in this country manufacturing them right now. So to build back that supply chain is going to take a monumental, well-documented, well-processed effort on the part of this country. And I mean, it's not going to happen overnight.
And remember, as I said, Larkin, you like to read. Rich, you too. And Mark, you're going to have to take a few minutes. It's only 85 pages. The Confessions of Congressman X. It's available on Amazon. You'll be very interested. It gives all the inside information that we've been talking with, that Jennifer spoke about, Sarah Blackwell, all these people. Everybody that's been on this broadcast has been 1,000% correct. And it's time for people to read that and see it. One of the other congressmen that was going to write another book is retiring now, so he figures, well, I could write some dirt about it now that I'm getting out. But that's not the point. But the Confessions of Congressman X, please check it out. Google it now and order your copy. It's only like $9.95.
Well, can I just congratulate Mark again on everything? And Mark, thanks for what you said before. I mean, you know, as much as you guys will say that maybe I have helped to influence some of the conversation, I appreciate that. But I need to say also that it's reciprocated here. Believe me, I think about things in maybe not so much a different way, but in a more thorough way 4 years later, after having a chance to meet Michael, everybody associated with this show, and when Larkin, you say, you know, people get off their butts and vote, it that means a lot. And there's a lot of people who have worn their inaction and their indifference and their ignorance proudly on their sleeves. And I think that is changing. I think there is a shift in thinking with people realizing that never paying attention to what happens in business and never paying attention to what happens in the political landscape, state, local, and federal, it's not a good thing. Ignorance is not bliss.
You're right. And Richard,
it isn't.
As I said earlier in today's program, and Mark is 100% in agreement with this, how can 90% of the clothing that we're wearing right now be made foreign? 90% of our shoes, electronics. Mark, did you find one electronic item that you can put in your store?
No, you know, it's funny, at the tour ops meeting, now these are tour groups, travel couples and people that own their business, Rich, like me and you and, you know, Mike and Larkin, you'd relate. These are the people that came in yesterday were 60 groups of people from around the country. And it's interesting to talk to the Canadians, because they respect what I'm doing. And why? Because they used to make the hockey sticks here. They used to make the ice skates here. They used to make their products, but it's all made in China. And boy, does that hurt Canada. So no, you know, we have no electronic devices, not one with a plug on it. I always bring that up. I always tell them we've been to the moon, but Made in America doesn't have one 100% product. And we don't have nothing that takes a battery, and that is out of shape. Or, you know, it's a problem. It's a 30-year mistake. Larkin's absolutely right. The supply chains are gone. It's going to take a lot of work, and Michael, you hit it. When we elect this qualified leader business person that kind of knows what it is to live paycheck to paycheck and pay bills, they got a lot of work to do, and it's just the start of the work to be done, but they need an action plan, and it's going to take some time.
And, you know, what is the biggest problem when these presidents and senators and congressmen are elected? They just go into their own little space and forget about the constituents. That can't continue in America, and that's the bottom line.
Their first meeting when they're elected is a meeting with their steering committee to find out how to get reelected.
Right. And you will see that listed in the Confessions of Congressman X. I'm promoting this because someone I know is promoting this book, and I think it's going to be good. Rich, I'm pleading with you to read it because you're going to really have to be our spokesman on this confession book.
I'll tell you, Michael, I got it on the way, so...
You already ordered it?
Yeah, I got it on the way.
Love it. I tell you, this Rich, he's unbelievable. Check it out. And Mark.
We'll be getting it, Mike. Don't worry. I'll get her. I'll order it.
Because I trust you. These people are now starting to become angry. And I know this person, so I have to promote them as much as I can. But it's because people are tired of watching everything in America. All the smiles are off people's faces. They're walking in disgust, not being able to pay, not being able to recommend their children or grandchildren to a job or call this one or call that one for some continuing education. There is nothing but poverty, craziness, discussions, all distractions. It's got to come to a halt. And it is slowly coming to a halt. And I don't know how the conventions are going to turn out. We have the Democratic convention here in Philadelphia, so we'll be reporting on that on the radio program. But I'll let you know. And Rich, I'm going to ask you to follow the Republican convention, so we'll be able to see what's going on there. But don't forget, everybody, I plead with you, visit Mark Andel on the internet. MadeInAmericaStore.com. This is a very historic week in Mark's life. He's been an example. He's the man of the year, man of the hour, whatever we have to make him the man of. He got his award last week, and he'll get his reward after more people follow his example as time goes on.
You know, I want to make a bet with Mark that I know he won't take. And that is that I spent some time up there, and I'll bet him $5 I can recite right now what your announcement is going to be next week. Not taking it, are you?
I'm wondering. I know you know that, but I think you're on the right trail there. I know you know that.
Great news.
I'm very proud for the movement, though.
And it's huge. It's huge, and I'm really proud to say I know you.
And you know, it's really nice, and thanks for the kind comments, guys. And again, it's not about me, but our team, 6 years, I mean, it's hard to make a dollar in retail, and Larkin knows what I mean, and Rich. And, Mike, it's hard. It wasn't about the dollars. It's about not quitting. And, boy, were we tested, even in the current economy. But, you know, to finish this store and to come through with it, even my team's looking at me like you're crazy along the way. But you just don't pick your head up. You just go forward and hope that good comes from it. But very excited about this weekend. Just as a statement, you can do whatever you want to do. Just never quit. Stay hungry. And that is the American dream. That's the can-do spirit. Never quit, no matter what you're hit with. Whatever challenge you have, just keep rolling. And, Rich, you know all about that in business, the highs and lows. And we have nobody to talk to. You know, we just kind of, okay.
And that's really sad when you think about our national leaders. If I said, Mark, for $1 million, who is the most important national leader in Congress or in the Senate that's going to help us move this ball along? Everybody is wondering, who is it?
Yeah, I don't have one to call, and, you know, I want to respect Washington again. I want to be able to say, yeah, no, they're doing a great job. You know, they've got our back. We want that confidence, and that's what we hope we get out of this year at the end of this election, something that we can gain confidence. All work is one goal, one team, and then just get this country, this big engine rolling again, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Gentlemen, it's getting near that time. I'm going to pause again to ask Mark to please do your best to make next week's announcement even more unbelievable than this week's events, so that more of our listeners and maybe places where they shop will be able to support some of the things that you're going to be doing. But Mark, some closing remarks.
Yeah, I've again thank all the listeners and our team there on the radio that stuck together and just believe. The biggest thing is you got to believe in what you're doing. This bus, I'm going to be going back on and thank them for being here. I'm going to send you some great pictures. Mike, maybe you can post them. It's a big day for me because it is the first bus at our new world-class destination. And I built it to represent all skilled trades in the front. Larkin, you've seen some of it up close. And it shows off what Americans can do. I wanted it to be for the future, not like America's over. So our country is still young, and everybody have a great week, and we've got a big weekend coming up, and I'll be talking to you soon.
We'll wait to hear from you next Wednesday, and God bless you, and have a wonderful weekend. I know the crowds are going to be unbelievable. I think you have 50 vendors coming.
55 vendors listed and registered as of yesterday. Now, it's going to be something. We got everybody from the Cub Scouts to the John Deere Club to the Model A Club to the FBI. So we got everybody and her brother signed up to be at this one. So we'll see how it comes in.
Wonderful. What do you have to say for closing remarks today, Larkin?
Well, I wish Mark all the luck in the world. I have such a deep appreciation for what he does, but that appreciation grows so much when you get a chance to go up there and see the spirit that just comes out of. I mean, his vendors that were helping him build this new store were just as excited as the people that are related, the family backbone. And his dad, I mean, what a character and what a guy that gave more to this country than he certainly asked from it. And, you got to be proud of people like that. So I wish you all the luck in the world. Mark, I think this next deal for you is just going to be a great one. It's going to be an opportunity that I know you'll respond to and do great with. And, hear, hear to free enterprise and the free market economy.
And I want you to know we did alert all of our people up there in the Buffalo area. You will have some people coming out this Saturday. It's going to be very interesting. The press should be there in good numbers, and I'm looking for some little YouTube clips for you to share with us next week. And whatever you do, Henry and I will work very closely to post it up and make sure that people get a good example from your good example.
I want to say one thing. The Alliance of American Manufacturing called me yesterday, Jeff and Scott Paul's right-hand man. They're going to put something in tomorrow. They did a nice interview, too, so that'll be neat. But people are watching.
Rich, closing remark.
Two things, guys, if I can just say. I always tell people, when you want to find inspiration, especially in business, turn to people who are doing it, not people who just talk about it, but people who do it, people like a Mark who's doing it. And the other thing, guys, I'm going to ask, say a prayer. Everybody who's listening, if you don't pray, say one for me. So I'm headed out to L.A. tomorrow, Michael, to go and try to sell my TV show, Honest Abe. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, Honest
Good
Abe.
Luck, Richard.
Have a great one, guys. Thanks you all
everyone.
For tuning in. Thanks to everybody at the station. Thanks to Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer. Please do spread the word, and in an hour or so, we will have a rebroadcast of today's program up on the internet. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, my best wishes to all of you. And congratulations once again to Mark Andel and all of his people involved with the Made in America store.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week. Thanks for the great comment.
Thanks everyone.